This is light to guide our feet. The 24/7 Authentic Christian Ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I call your attention to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew in the New Testament, the first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew. The reading begins at verse 38. Matthew chapter 38 and following. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Don't let the sunshine fool you. Don't let the sunshine fool you. Don't let the sunshine fool you. Our topic for this worship service. At the outset, it is my great joy to not only declare, which needs no declaration, for the Bible clearly declares it, that God is love, that God is plenteous in mercy, that God is of great kindness, that God is very gracious, that God often suffers long, that God gives people sometimes chance after chance after chance after chance. And so our God, our Father in heaven, is kind and gentle, is loving and graceful, is merciful, and does not want anyone to be lost. But he wants everybody to be saved. That's what the Bible tells us. That it is the will of God that all people come to repentance and be saved. But we know that that will of God will not be done, because there are those who refuse to come. Don't let the sunshine fool you. Don't let the sunshine fool you. God shines brightly in his love. Oh, he shines so brightly in his mercy. Oh, he shines so brightly in his grace. Oh, our Father in heaven shines so brightly in his kindness. There are times when I hear people of the world talking about how merciful God is and how kind God is and how good God is and how gracious God is. And God is all of those things, but I come as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in affirming, reaffirming, and declaring all of those truths about God. I come to caution you. Don't let the sunshine fool you. Don't let the sunshine fool you. What do you mean, Reverend? Do you mean that even though God is all of those things, that those things are not real? No, that is not what I mean. Those things are absolutely real. They are absolute reality. God is, in fact, love and loving. God is, in fact, gracious. God is, in fact, kind and has great kindness. God is, in fact, plenteous in mercy. All of those things are true. And yet I caution you, don't let the sunshine fool you. Because God is gracious to you, as you pay him no attention and go about your merry way, quote unquote, doing your own thing, thumbing your nose at God, and the sun keeps shining, don't let the sunshine fool you. Because you out doing your fornication, drinking your liquor and getting drunk, and the sun keeps on shining, don't let the sunshine fool you. Because you've been committing adultery for 10 years and nothing has happened yet, and the sun keeps on shining, don't let the sunshine fool you. Because you've been stealing and you've been crooked You've been gambling for 25 years and you've gotten rich at it. And then you lost everything and then got richer than you were, and the sun kept on shining. Don't let the sunshine fool you. Oh, you've lied your way around the world. You've told lies and got what you wanted. And you're good at lying. And by the time somebody realizes that you've lied, you've gone somewhere else and you are no longer in that region. And the sun keeps on shining. But don't let the sunshine fool you. You've been cheating in your business. You've had people working for you for years and you wouldn't pay them right. They've made you millions. And you are drawing millions every year, and you and your family are sailing and flying and partying it up every year while people are eking out a living as you pay them very little. And the sun keeps on shining and you keep on dancing, but don't let the sunshine fool you. You've been living together for 8 years now, 10 years, 15 years. Talked about getting married, but you've been together so long now, you say, what's the use? You've gotten good at living together now and not being married. And the sun keeps on shining. But I say to you, don't let the sunshine fool you. You've turned your back on God, though you were in church. You were faithful, quote unquote, in church for a while. Then the world's allures pulled you out there. You've been enjoying the pleasures of sin for a long season now, and the sun has kept on shining, but don't let the sunshine fool you. Oh, you're still in church, but you're a hypocrite. You have a good reputation in church, but your hypocrisy occurs somewhere else, in hotels far away. You fly to distant places for rendezvous with that man from high school, with that woman that you met on another job in another city or another country. You've been doing it now for a number of years, and to you and to her, it's the best thing, and you can't wait to see each other every year because you're together for a sinful season, and then you go on back to where you came from, to that wife and husband you have back there who have no idea of what that particular business trip that you take once a year is all about. And the sun has kept on shining, but don't let the sunshine fool you. What are you getting at, Reverend? God is gracious. God is loving. You've done Christians wrong for many years. You've ripped off Christians. They have been kind and gentle to you. They've been nice. They've turned the other cheek. They've been loving. They have not cursed you when you cursed them. They have not even argued at you. You've stolen from them. You've tricked them. You've been unfaithful to Christians. You've been untrue. And the sun has kept on shining, but don't let the sunshine fool you. What are you talking about, Reverend? Come with me. Come with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48, which I just read in your hearing. Let me read them again. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto thee, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren also, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. It is the character of the children of God and of God himself to be kind, to be gentle, to be loving, to be long-suffering, to take something, to bear something, to humble ourselves, even unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, says Philippians chapter 2, and given him a name which is above every name. Jesus humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Turn with me, my friends, to Philippians chapter 2. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Verse 9 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 13. In Matthew chapter 5, we're reading about the character, the actions and reactions of the children of God. And we are told in so many words to be kind and gentle and loving, to exhibit those very attributes and characteristics that we talked about, you and I, at the beginning of this worship service, about God being merciful, about God being kind, about God being gracious, about God being loving. God is working in you if he is mercy and his plenteous in mercy, if he is of great kindness, if he is love, if he is merciful and gracious. He wants to work that work in you. He wants to work that work in me. And we see Paul saying in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we conduct ourselves as it pleases God. The Christian is to conduct himself. The Christian is to conduct herself as it pleases God. God is working in the Christian. That's why you can't do whatever you want to do. And that's why you can't say whatever you want to say. For Paul makes it very clear in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God which worketh in you. And some of you will say, yeah, but people are going to look down on me and they're going to say, I'm not this and I'm not that, and I will lose my standing in the community and in my social clubs, and the people who used to look up to me won't look up to me anymore. But the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Not yours, his good pleasure. Yeah, but I'll lose my reputation. Well, Paul spoke to that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 through 48, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. For some of you who live your lives by man's logic, this does not make sense. For some of you in your logic, this does not work. For some of you in your system of logic, man's worldly system of logic, Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48, for some of you in your logic, for some of you, those verses don't make any sense. Some of you think they're foolish. Some of you say that they are illogical. Well, in your little human logic system, they may be illogical, but they are not illogical in the eternal realm. They are not illogical in God's spiritual realm. God's ways are higher than our ways. God's logic, if I may use that term in applying to God's reasoning and God's system, is much higher than our little earthbound finite mind logic. And so while you would declare the commands of God, and that's what they are commandments of God given by God the Son. Here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48, while you reject them out of hand as being illogical in your little system of logic operated by man, I declare unto you they are totally and perfectly logical in the eternal realm, a realm in which you do not believe, a realm of which you have no idea, a realm which you cannot understand, because some things are spiritually discerned and you are not able to discern them because you are temporal in this temporary flesh. And though you have a spirit and a soul, you don't understand them and don't even believe that they will survive the package in which they are encapsulated. That package called the human body. That package called man. So you have no grasp of the eternal. And thus in your little decrepit human system of logic, you say these verses don't make sense. And since you are not spiritual, I'm not going to even try to explain them to you. But I want to talk to Christians. Christians, if you are saved, you know deep down within that these verses make all the sense in the world. You know that we are to conduct ourselves in such a way that God Himself works through us. He wills and does in us as He wants. And we know that our ways in a world of men and women who are evil, who are wicked, who are unjust, who are covetous, who don't believe in God, we know that we will suffer loss in many ways because they will steal from us, they will mistreat us, they will abuse us and tell us to get over it. They will do evil to us and laugh at us. The Bible talks about how they kill the Christians. Paul alluded to our state in Romans chapter 28. Some of you don't understand what it means to be a Christian. You've just gone up and you've shaken the preacher's hand and now you on the joy bandwagon. Let me bring you back down to reality. We are called to be perfect in humility, in kindness and love. We are called to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. So maybe you weren't told when you became a Christian what it's all about. But thank God now you are a Christian. And I want to give you a little meat. You may have been fed with milk thus far. I don't want to frighten you, but I want to bring you to reality. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let me give you just a little taste of what it means to be a Christian on that spheroid called planet Earth. Let me give you what it means, just a little taste of what it means to be a Christian on that far out place in space, in some important proximity to the sun and the moon, that planet that evolves and revolves in the solar system, that moves in its axis cup, that changes the seasons, as it were, as its motion continues. That earth that sometimes quakes, that gives rain by the grace of God and snow and sunshine. Let me give you a little taste of what it means to be a Christian on planet Earth. Come with me to Romans chapter 8, verses 33 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 33 through 39. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 33 through 39. So yes, being a Christian can be a bandwagon of joy, but it can also be a killing field. For his sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, in case I frighten you, new Christian, in case you're about to say, well, what advantage is it being a Christian when I've got to let people abuse me, maybe even kill me, when I've got to go through these horrible things, when death or principalities or powers or things present may harm me? Why did I become a Christian? Well, let's back up a minute. Let me soothe your fearful heart. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, which reads, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Let me read that again for you, new Christian. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Your question is, Reverend, that doesn't make sense. How can those horrible things you just talk about, how can they be good? Well, that's the higher logic, my friend. That's the logic of the eternal realm. You see, man's little logic would say this doesn't make sense. Man's little logic would say, well, this doesn't fit with what you just read in verses 33 through 39 of Romans chapter 8. Now you're reading and you're telling me that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But my friends, young Christian, this is totally true. Nothing can happen to you that doesn't work together for good if you love God, if you are called according to his purpose. If you love God, if you are called according to his purpose, all things work together for good for you. And you are saying man's logic doesn't say that. But I call you to God's logic. I call you to the logic of the eternal realm. And I also want to point out what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, just a few verses forward of 28. We just read in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, as follows, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Now listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 31. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" If God be for us, you ought to make a note if you had not heard of Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and verse 31. You ought to make a note. You ought to write these verses down. If you're driving, make a mental note. Romans 8, 28. Romans 8, 31. Romans 8, 28. Romans 8, 31. Romans 8, 28 reads, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Romans 8, 31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans 8, 31. Romans 8, 31. Romans 8, 31, which reads, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Romans chapter 8, verse 31. So what does it matter now, after having read Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and verse 31, let's again now read Romans chapter 8, verses 33 through 39, in light of Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and verse 31, and we ought to get a better and clearer picture. Reading now Romans chapter 8, verses 33 through 39. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 33 through 39, and in light of those scriptures now, let's go back and read what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. In light of what we just read and just learned, let's read again now. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So Christian, Christ has given you, he has given me these commands. We are to obey them. We are to obey them with great maturity. We are to do what we are told to do here. An eye for an eye is no longer the rule. Where in ancient Israel, if someone put out one person's eye, then the judgment was that the person who put out the person's eye had to have one of his eyes put out. A tooth for a tooth was if someone broke out his neighbor's tooth, then the judgment was that a tooth had to be broken out of the man who broke out the neighbor's tooth. Jesus says that's no longer the justice that God wants. Jesus tells us to suffer things, to let things be done to us, and not to recompense evil for evil, that we may be the children of our Father. So we have our marching orders, and we have no excuse. But the topic of this sermon is, don't let the sunshine fool you. Don't let the sunshine fool you. This part of this message is for people who do not believe in God. This part of this message is for people who are doing wrong to Christians, and the sun is still shining. Don't let the sunshine fool you. This part of this message is for people who are sinning, have been sinning, and the sun is still shining. This part of this message is for people who have done evil to Christians, and Christians have not resisted you, and the sun kept on shining. This part of the message is for people who have smoked Christians on the right cheek, and the Christian has turned to him or her the other also, and the sun kept on shining. This part of this message is for the persons who sued the Christian at law and taken away his coat, and the Christian let him have his cloak also, and the sun kept on shining. Don't let the sunshine fool you. This part of the message is for those who are not Christians, who have compelled the Christians to go a mile with you, an ungodly mile, and the Christian has gone 2 miles with you just for good measure, and the sun kept on shining. This part of the message is for him who is stolen from Christians, asked Christians and taken what Christians have, who have gobbled up the resources and become rich, and the Christians have not opposed you, and the sun kept on shining. Don't let the sunshine fool you. This part of the message, so those of you who have made yourself the enemies of Christ, the enemies of God, and the enemies of Christian, and God and Christians have kept on loving you, and the sun has kept on shining, and you have surmised that there must not be a God because the sun is still shining. But I say to you, don't let the sunshine fool you. For you see, God has commanded us to treat you with love, with grace, with mercy, and with kindness. And God has decided in his mercy and grace and love and kindness, he has decided to let, not only let, but make his son. After all, the son is his, and that's what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, those of you who've been doing wrong so long, you don't know how to do right, you don't know what right is, and the sun has kept on shining, and you've allowed Satan to convince you that there is no God because you've said in your little human logic that if there was a God, he would have done something by now. And so because he hasn't done anything that you see him having done to harm you or hurt you, but he's given you mercy and grace and love, and he's been kind to you, you have surmised and concluded that there is no holy God because you've been doing your mess and the sun has kept on shining. But I say to you, don't let the sunshine fool you. What Jesus said, his son, Jesus, his only begotten son, Jesus the Christ. Here's what the Son of God said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. For he maketh his son, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You think God doesn't know you're evil just because the sun keeps rising and keeps on shining, just because the rain keeps coming. You think God doesn't know you're unjust. You see, you think God doesn't know about you. You think you're getting away free. totally free. You convince yourself that there can't be a God because the sun keeps rising. You keep driving your convertible down the street in his sun and having a good time. You keep dating people in the moonlight with your convertible by the seaside. And oh, it's so sweet. Oh, it's so sweet. Everything seems to just keep on going as they've always been going for you. And you surmise that they cannot be a God because the sun keeps shining. But don't let the sunshine fool you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 ought to be enough to let you know that God knows where you are and God knows who you are. It is God in his mercy, his love, his grace, his long suffering, his kindness, who makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Oh, you've had your house of prostitution for 25 years now, and you've made so much money, and you have a whole stable of girls, you say. You have a big clientele, and the sun has kept on rising and kept on shining. And you are pretty sure in your ungodly heart that there is no God. But I call your attention to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, about what Jesus said about God, who is his Father. Jesus said, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. God knows you're evil. God knows you are evil, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. God knows you're unjust. God knows you're evil. I say to you, don't let the sunshine fool you. God knows exactly what you're doing. God makes the sun rise even though you are paying him no attention. He makes the sun rise. But you see, God is speaking to you right now through these words. See, you feel you've gotten away free. But because you are hearing me, God is speaking to you. And in so many words saying, repent, because if you don't, I'm going to send you to hell. You see, God will make his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He will make his rain on the just and on the unjust. And having poured out those mercies and that kindness and that grace and that love on them, on the evil and on the unjust, if they don't repent, he will send them to hell. And hell is enough to pay for all you did. So God doesn't really have to worry about getting you while you're in the flesh, because hell will take care of it totally, because you will be tormented in that flame. Don't let the sunshine fool you, because nothing bad has happened yet, and you've been going about your ungodly way, and the sun has been shining, and you have surmised that there must not be a God because the sun is still shining. I call your attention to Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, and read in your hearing once again what the Son of God said, the S-O-N, the capital S-O-N of God said, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. That sun that has been shining on you, that S-U-N, that has been shining on you, that's God's grace. God made the sun to rise on the good and on the evil. That's God's mercy. That's God's kindness. That's God's love. He made it because he hasn't destroyed your liquor joint yet, because he hadn't destroyed your house of prostitution yet, because he has not destroyed your abortion clinic yet, and the sun is still shining. Don't let the sunshine fool you. Don't let the sunshine fool you. Don't let the sunshine fool you. His only begotten Son said, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. God knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows what you are. He knows what you're doing. Don't let the sunshine fool you.